I'm glad to be here. First time I got to come. Amen. Brother Ray Stewart, your former pastor, I knew him. He asked me to come down here when he had the Jubilee, but I was always in Mobile, Alabama at that time. And so the last 4 or 5 years, I haven't went to Mobile, but I hadn't had the opportunity to be here. I'm glad I got to come. Amen. I thought the devil was fighting me in every way. About the time I was getting ready to do a radio broadcast, electricity went off, the sun was just shining and everything, but it rained a lot. A big maple tree blew across the power line out there, and I was out of electricity for 30 hours. Cranked up a generator to keep from spoiling the stuff in the freezer. When you work, you know you don't want to waste it. Yeah. And anyway, we got to come a day late and a dollar short. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. It's a real joy. You know, Brother Ray Stewart, I heard him many times. Your pastor, you had a wonderful man of God here. When with him, you got a man right now. It's one of the best preachers in the country. It's God using him, Brother Davy Shelton. You ought to thank God for him. I want to tell you this little amusing incident about Brother Ray Stewart. He's preaching at Gospel Baptist Church, and he come around Bristol. I really got more acquainted with him better when that I moved to Bristol in 1974. And anyway, Brother Ray, the last time is in a meeting before that I left Bristol, went out in evangelism 20 years ago, but he was out at Gospel Baptist Church. And I didn't get to go on Monday night. Something happened, but I went on Tuesday night. And we fellowshipped him on the prayer room and others. But I won't forget this incident. One fellow, you know, played a prank on his pastor. He went up there when the pastor left his Bible and got the preacher's outline and hid it. And he told Brother Ray about it. He told the wrong person. Brother Ray, he had told him after service to him Monday night that he had done that sometime. Boy, Brother Ray got up, he was preaching away. He said, anybody that would go get the man of God's outline, try to upset him, said it's nothing but a tool of the devil. So they give place to him. I said, amen. I tell you, it's just a joy to be saved. I'm glad there's somebody here besides us, aren't you? As soon as I came here on Thursday, I felt a good presence of the Lord in every service. And I tell you, my heart was blessed this morning by the message of a young man. Then I got to meet Brother Levi here at lunchtime. Young preacher, some of them out here that's dedicated their life to God, going to go out. I tell you, that's a hope we have of tomorrow. It's a man that'll stand. You know, I didn't see any young man right there in the 70s. Every man I saw that answered the call to preach was 40 years old or above. I got to praying. I said, Lord, I want to see some young men about 20 years old get stirred up, answer the call to God. God be real to them. And boy, I tell you, I was up at Chilhowee, Virginia. I don't get that wild most of the time. But that evening in the Tri-State Pastors Fellowship, they had 3 young preachers that got up. Man, they preached the stars down. Yeah. I was up on the seats of shouting and running the aisle. Now, I'm not going to do that tonight, but I'm subject to it. And anyway, that thrilled my heart to see them, and every one of them, God used them. One of them died with cancer. Then when he was 42 years old, but God used him for the glory of God. I preached meetings for him. And I tell you, you know, these ones coming on, the man that I started out with, the man that I know now, only Bobby Robertson, pastor of Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina. Bobby's been preaching a little longer than I have. His dad was a preacher, and Bobby's still pastoring the church. And I felt led of God to give up a church I started 20 years ago in Bristol. And I've been on the road since then. And I tell you, I've traveled and I've met a lot of people, been a lot of places. But one thing that thrills my heart is see young people as well as the old ones get in and stirred up for God. And then some of the old folks that's not lost the joy of the Lord. I mean, what is it it's better. Someone told me, asked me when I was going to slow down. I said, I'm afraid to. They said, why are you afraid to? I said, Father, time's on my track and I'm going to outrun as long as I'm able. And I don't know anything. Someone said, how you keep your zeal? I said, I didn't know you're supposed to lose it. Have you? I mean, and I've heard Edward sing before. I told my wife, I said, Mama, get up here in a minute and she'll go to shouting. I kind of like that, sister. I tell you, I wouldn't mind if you'd put me on a list. I got a list in my devotional Bible that I pray for. I've got preacher from A to Z in alphabetical order. I've got this pastor, Brother Davey, on others around over the country that's asked me. Someone said, well, do you need to pray that much? Said, do they need your prayer that bad? I said, I don't know what they needed as bad, but I sure do need to practice. Amen. You and I called a name out. And some of them I know sometime will call me and say they're in a storm, like the Lord preached about this morning, young man. Yeah. And I want to tell you, the Bible says in Galatians 6, to bear you one another's burden to so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Then it tells us every one of us, every man will bear his own burden. There's some of them we have, but we can help bear one another's burdens. Yep. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I thank God for down through the years how good God's people's been to me. Yes, sir. Once I pastored out here now, I told my pastor I wasn't worth a thing as a member of the church, but I was foreign. I don't live close to him, but I send a tithe in every month and I'll be up here in the Jubilee moderating part of it. Week from this coming Sunday. So I want you to pray for us. Amen. And I'm just honored to be here, Brother Dave and his family. I met them out at Maryville, Tennessee, I believe, about 11 years ago. Yeah. I'd heard of him. And I tell you, they just, his family, I've watched them grow up. And young man got taller than I am. Then the oldest girl getting married. Yeah. You know, things as others. And I feel for preachers' kids. They live in a glass house. And mine, the four children that I had, they just kids. They just same as somebody else's. They're not perfect. But boy, I tell you, there's folks that'll set them up, criticize them. Sometimes say, well, that preacher's kids, like they're supposed to be perfect. I'm going to tell you, the Bible said there's none good, no, not one. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. All of us are capable if we're not careful of giving place to the devil. Yes, sir. But when you do, bless God, confess it and get back where you're supposed to.
Amen.
To my heart's went out. I've seen preachers' kids broken, preachers run off for no reason just for standing the Word of God, preaching the Word of God.
Yep.
You know, one said, like one preacher said, he went in evangelism. They said, why? I said, last church I got a left because of illness. I said, why is that? I said, they got sick of me. Well, I didn't do that the last church I had. I'm talking of, anyway, that's what I told some of them today, that, you know, it'll come, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, it'll come to pass in the last days, said this is that spoken by the prophet Joel, it'll come to pass in the last days. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and the old man dreamed dreams. That old man dreamed dreams is reminiscing about the good old days that weren't quite as good as they thought it was. But anyway, it's good to be saved, isn't it? I've never got over it. I just can't get over it. It's something about being saved by the grace of God. All of a sudden, God put you the lowest down. He'll just creep up suddenly on you. Boy, I'll hug you up as Hinkle Little used to say, scrunch you up real close.
Yeah.
And when he does, I'm going to tell you, you'd face a frowning world and a demonic world and say, thank God I've got victory in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The forces of hell may be with you or against you on every side, but we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. You have your Bibles tonight. Turn with us to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Been praying. Almost changed my mind on the message from the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5 tonight, you that have the Word of God, and I hope you'll pray for us. Anyway, we begin reading in Ephesians chapter 5, and it tells us these words in verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought man to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it, cheers it, even as the Lord the church. Isn't that wonderful? God nourishes and cherishes it. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm part of the church. For we are members of the body of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Now, I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, writing this is a great mystery, speaking of this. Yep. But I speak concerning Christ in the church. Yes, as husbands love their wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Right. He died for it. Amen. When we realize what he did for us, when we think about that, then he said that's a great mystery, that he compares that to relationship between a husband and wife. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He left the Father's house in the foreordained plan of eternity. And brother, in the mind of God, before he ever laid the mud seals of the world, he had the church on his mind. You say, how's that? That's foreknowledge. I'm not a hyper-Calvinist, but I believe every bit of the Bible that the Bible says, and just like it says. I believe election is according to foreknowledge. I believe in whosoever will, that he'd have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to speak to you tonight on this one subject right here, where it said in verse 27, he said in verse 26 that he might sanctify it, cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should it be holy and without blemish. I want to tell you, I went in Rome Baptist Church in May 1955, lost without God on the road to hell. That Thursday night, I want to tell you, I come out of there saved by the marvelous grace of God. I thank God for the church. I thank God for the people that invited me, that witnessed to me, that prayed for me, that told me about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man that I was a little seven-year-old barefoot boy back in the Depression. I'm a Depression kid, but I'm not depressed. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I saw him walk out, give his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. They played that old pump organ. Didn't have electricity in that area. And I come back out of the service. They had along the wall lamps, two lamps behind the preacher. Boy, they sung old-time religion. Yeah. It's good enough for me. I saw him weeping. I saw that man walk to church. I saw him go in the rain with the umbrella and the snow. He bought old 37 Chevrolet pickup. That thing was on its last leg. Every time he'd climb a little hump, you'd think it wouldn't get it. But he hauled people to church. Brother, they got to be a deacon, a Sunday school superintendent. He lived the life. And I want to tell you, a living epistle church, every church has got some that's a living epistle known and read of all man. Right. That night I got out of that truck, Lackey Pruitt. He come up to me and he said, Rayton, a tall man, he didn't stammer. I tell you, I had a reputation of a pretty high temper. I could give folks a piece of my mind that I didn't have to spare. But anyway, he came up right then, grabbed me, and he said, boy, I want to see you saved, Rayton. I want to give your heart to God. I said, Leck, if I could get what you could have, I would. He said, it's available. All you got to do is trust Jesus. I'll tell you, that day I was driving a truck, had my own hauling milk in the Carnation Company at Galax, outside of Woodlawn, Virginia. I'd got a running start to go up Fetters Hill on the old two-lane road, and a 16 and a half mile an hour was loaded heavy. In high second gear, that preacher that I'd went to hear, he had preached on hell so hot it about scorched the pews the night before. And I want to tell you, he said, thank God, one thing I remembered, so I don't have to go to hell because of the mercy of God. Boy, man, my brother, one to God, been the community drunk, still had redness on his face after years of heavy drinking. He said, bless him, Lord. Boy, I got angry in the church. I did. I said, God, there's nothing fair about this. I said, I'm sorry, but I'm not as sorry as he. And my wife didn't have to go out and hire out in the field and fake feed sack dresses and shirts on the other. And he didn't even work for drinking, lying drunk till he got saved. And I said, there's nothing fair about this. But I want to tell you, all I could think about was hearing that preacher. And I bowed my head on the entrance of the Midway Drive-In Theater, pulled over and parked on that 53 Ford truck and said, Lord, if you'll let me go back to that church at night, I'll go up. I don't understand this, but I'm miserable. I can't stand it any longer. That man met me. I hadn't went 30 foot after the tears run down his face. My oldest brother's a preacher come up, and he got me by the hand. He said, Rayton, you need to give your heart to God. And he said, you're under conviction. I lied. I said, well, maybe a little bit. I said, miserable. I couldn't stand it. You know what? The Bible said, David said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. I said, if he'd have said it slow, he'd have still told the truth. Amen. Yeah. But only one is the man, Christ Jesus, that never spoke a word. But I went in that church, and that preacher preached that night. Oh, we've seen strange things happen. Brother R.A. White, I helped in his funeral up yonder at Drexel, North Carolina the other year. But anyway, he said that it's strange the effect of the gospel that it has upon people. And as he preached that night, said two men or two women can be sitting on the same seat, lost without God. One of them will hear the truth of God's word, step out and be saved. And the other, and it has no effect whatsoever. Boy, I'm telling you, he had preached also, brought in my spirit will not always strive with man. I got scared. I was waiting. I'll tell you, when he gave an invitation, the first time I raised my hand for prayer, I come out of there. They give me a month. Some of them give me 2 weeks. Some of them said, well, them puckets kind of hard hit it. They might last out there for 3 or 4 months, but he'll be back the same old way again. I want you to know it's been 62 years this past May, and thank God it's better than it was that night. I know more about the one that I know. You say, what'd you do? I thank God for the church. I saved in the church. I was taught and grounded in the church. I mean, God's people, some of them took me under the wing. I sat under a Sunday school teacher, taught the word of God. We only had halftime services, a little country church up there. I'd go every time, listen to John Rowland on Sunday night. They didn't have any Sunday night services around there. I'd listen to him and getting the word of God. One man got the man that witnessed to me was Sunday school superintendent. The teacher asked me to turn to Jeremiah. I hadn't been saved 3 months. I didn't even know it was Jeremiah in the Bible. I'd started reading the New Testament. Yeah. I started in Genesis. Yeah. And he said, turn to Jeremiah. I couldn't find it in that little Bible. Yeah. And then he said, can't you find it? I said, I don't know where it's at. And so you know what? This fella come up and witnessed to me, said, Rayton, he shouldn't have asked you that. I said, I'm glad he did. Yeah. He said, you are? Yeah. I said, give me 6 months and I'll find Jeremiah. Challenged the word of God in church. Yeah. I took under wing. I tell you, I was ordained. I served as a deacon. I was ordained and sent out by the church. I tell you, we need to always remember it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His church. He's the head of the church and the Savior of the body. You say, what about a glorious church? There's some things about the church. The Bible said if you got to be a member of the church in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, it said for the one spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews, Gentiles, and whether we be bond or free, we've been all made to drink in one spirit. And verse 14 says a body is not one member but many. We're members of the body of Christ in the church. God's placed every member as it pleased Him. He gave talent. I wish I could sing over here like Brother Tim did, leading the singing and others as well as preach. I tell these preachers got all the talent and sing like David and them. I said, boy, you got more to answer to God for than I have. They say, why is that? I said, you got more talents. If you don't have any, you don't have to answer for too much, do you? But anyway, let me tell you something. Thank God for the ones in the church, the one that sang, the one that teach, the one that takes care of the nursery, the one, the women that goes out here and gets food when there's a death or somebody sick to come in, ones that goes in when a woman, and some that I've had pastor the church, they had that gift. They could go to a house and where that the woman had been sitting down, they could do the laundry and they didn't feel bad about it. They could mop the floor. They could go out there and do those things. Now, I'm going to tell you it means something. When it means the most, let me tell you, when there's someone that's a apple of your eye and the touch of your heart and God calls them out, all of a sudden the body come around you. I'll tell you, my first wife died. I went and saw that wasted away. And she had never smoked, never been around secondhand smoke. They called it an unfortunate circumstance. She had emphysema, COPD. Only thing I prayed and asked God to heal her, He didn't see fit to do so. But I asked God, God, I can't stand to hear her gasp for breath. And she never did. Hallelujah, I got one prayer. God let me know she's going to go on. And she told me about 2 weeks before she died, sitting there with her. I was in her wheelchair and put her sitting there at my daughter's hospice is coming in. She looked at me and said, Rayton. I said, yes. And she said, that type of voice, what do you want, honey? I said, what can I do? She said, after I'm gone, you're going to keep on preaching, aren't you? I said, that's all I do, honey. She said, I want you to do. Said, I don't want you to cancel any more meetings right now. I said, I'm taking care of you. You're more important right now to that than anything else. But I tell you, when she died, I was supposed to start a meeting in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina on Monday night, Labor Day of that year. My daughter set out. She went on to be at the Lord about 1 o'clock in the morning. And so, you know something? About that time, the pastor called at 6. He said, Brother Rayton, I know your wife died. I said, Brother Don, I'll be there tonight to preach. I'll make a funeral arrangements. I won't be there tomorrow night. We'll have the wake. I'll be back Wednesday night. I said, I'm going to do what she asked me to do. You say, why? Because that's what said I want you to do. Now, I'm going to tell you, it wasn't her, but there's one that saved me by the grace of God. I went down there to that church that night, Brother David, on Monday. You know something? They got to hugging on me.
Oh, yeah.
They got to loving on me. They got to comforting me. And I tell you, I'd tried to comfort others. But boy, when you need to be comforted yourself, there's something about that body strength of the member of the church of God, thank God. We might have our blemishes, wrinkles, and spots right now, but honey, we're heading for a time when He's going to present it a glorious church, not any wrinkle or spot whatsoever. That Monday night, I like not have got to preach. Another preacher supposed to preach for me, sung a song. Instead of that, they got testifying. Some of them said they'd been saved 40-some years before that under my ministry. Anyway, they mentioned about it. You know something? I give an invitation. That night, the altar filled up. I saw a woman brokenhearted over there. I didn't deal with them, but there's numbers that come there. I left to go on back to be with my family. But anyway, when I went back Wednesday night, they was out there at the door welcoming me where they had the funeral loving me. And this woman that had been weeping so said, "Tell Brother Rayton what happened to you Monday night." She said, "I got saved. I'm going to heaven." And said, "I tell you right now, I come to hear you preach. But said, if you could go on and brag on the Lord, one that you already had a companion that you'd lived with for many years that went on to heaven," said, "I wanted something like that." But I'm going to tell you right now, thank God it's real tonight. I won this dear lady, it's my wife now, over 50 years ago. Her husband, I had preached his funeral. First husband got killed in a car wreck and left her. She's went through the stars, but I tell you, the church had been around and helped and strengthened her, said, "I didn't know what to do." It hadn't been for God's people. Right. Now, I want to tell you, God brought us together. Neither one of us thought we'd ever marry again. But I want to tell you one thing. You say, "Where I did?" The church is what brings it. Yeah. That's where we come. Yeah. I was preaching. She'd come to her brother. I'd won to God 50 years ago. It's a pastor. Brother Davies preached there. Night I know of when the jubilee that we had. But anyway, you know something? He was there with her and said, God spoke to me, said, "If you marry again, you and Rayton will be the one." Well, we got married. You say, "Well, God doesn't make any mistakes." Amen. You say, "What about the church?" I tell you, he planned for it so long. He did before the foundation of the world. He paid such a price for it. In 1 Peter 1:18, "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifest in these last times." And brother, then he tells us in verse 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever." I want to tell you, he paid the price that you and I, as they sung about the blood tonight, I about lost my Baptist dignity over there. Amen. Amen. You say, "Why? I'm not only redeemed by the blood, but thank God there's a constant cleansing of the blood." Oh, yes. Amen. Yes. Amen, preacher. I mean to tell you, we've got something to learn about. He paid such a price for it. And then he provides for it so well. If you read Ephesians chapter 4 and beginning at verses 11, 12, it tells about when he descended in the lower parts of the earth and then he ascended, led captivity captive, give gifts unto man. He gave the gifts to the church. He gave some apostles, some evangelists, some pastor, some teacher, and others, boy, that we all come in the unity of faith that we can be edified. Thank God for the Bible teachers I had when I went to Bible college. Amen. For people I've sat under, different ones of prophecy and things, and people that's blessed my heart by singing. Yeah. And then some that's exhorters. I used to see some old time exhorters. I remember one well, and he's dead now and in heaven, but there's not them. But they used to happen to come in revival meetings 2 weeks at a time. Yeah. They could exhort and move people and see them saved by the grace of God. Amen. He gave them for that. Older preachers took me under the wing. And I'm going to tell you this. I've always tried to encourage a younger preacher. Some of the older ones that I've met, boy, they acted like they didn't know we even want me around them. But I'll tell you, some that put the arm around me, told me, said, "I'm praying for you." Amen. Levi, I want to tell you, I love you, boy. I just met you today. But I want to encourage you and never discourage you. I'm going to see you strengthened and built up in the faith. I want to hear about God using you and these other, some of the younger ones that I meet along the journey. Because one person said one time, said, "You know," said, "some preachers won't." I was talking to a bunch of them in a meeting like it's having a jubilee. I was preaching last every morning at that meeting. They come up, some young preachers, and ask me, as in Romans chapter 8, on the Spirit of God. I was teaching each morning on that. And anyway, they come up and was talking to me. And they thanked me, was getting ready, said, come on, we eat. I said, that's all right. I'll be glad to talk to you. They said, we want to thank you. Said, some preachers don't have time to talk. I said, some of these ones don't have time. Forgot there's a young preacher one day. You better not forget where you come from. Listen, he paid, he provides for it. You say, what about the church? I'll give you three things quickly about it. A glorious church. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ is the founder of the church. He's the one that found it. You got a pastor here, it's an overseer. But thank God Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. He's the under shepherd. Same way as Brother Stewart, when I pastored the church, I was the under shepherd. But the chief shepherd is the one that needs to be in charge. Long as the chief shepherd is in charge, things went pretty good. When Rayton tried to get in charge, they didn't do too good. You say, why? He's the founder of the church. Jesus come. First time a church is mentioned is in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus come to Caesarea Philippi, he looked to his disciples and said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, they said, well, you may be Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets, but he got personal. Yeah. And he said, whom do you say that I am? Yes, sir, and then Peter, by divine revelation. You say, how you know it? Because God said it. By divine revelation said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but you got it from my Father in heaven that told you that. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon that confession in me, I founded my church. Right. And I'm going to tell you, the ones that are members right here come confessing faith. Yep. You did, I did, yes, in sir, the preacher. Lord Jesus Christ. And he found it. I'm glad I'm part of the family of God. I got in the best family I've ever been in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The one that found it doesn't make any mistakes. We're waiting to be presented without blemish or spot or anything. We got some, but there's no mistakes in him. Never been. He asked them, which of you convinces me of sin? Nobody couldn't. Pilate washed his hand, said, this man's innocent. Yep. And Jesus said, the prince of the world, the devil comes, he can't find nothing wrong.
Right.
The devil will find something wrong with you and I. Right. Don't tell me he's not an accuser of the brethren.
You're right.
But aren't you glad they're talking about the blood? When he accuses us before God, you and I are in the Lord Jesus Christ under the blood. Thank God there's no condemnation. There's no fault in his son. You're dead, even though you're alive. Your life is hid with Christ in God.
Yes, sir,
when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, you're in Christ, you're here, and you're there.
Yep.
He raised you up, made you sit together in heavenly places in Christ.
Amen.
We're here, but we're in him. He's in us, so we're in two worlds right now.
Yep.
And thank God we're in him. The devil accuses us. God to the Father. The Father looks at his son. The devil can't see nothing wrong in his son.
Yep.
And we're in him, so we're hid.
Right.
We're in pretty good shape. He's the founder of the church.
Yes.
And he said, the gates of hell, I say unto you, thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. No matter what the Catholics say, it wasn't built upon Peter, it's built upon the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the living stone, the chief cornerstone, and he's the one it's built upon. And on the confession, you and I have nothing to do except repent of our sins, and the goodness of God leads us to repentance.
Yep.
Romans 2 says so. God shows you how good he is and how mean we was. We could ask God his goodness, then we repent. God, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm unworthy. I'm not fit for nothing. My whole life went before me that night 62 years ago on my knees. I cried out, God, how could you love something rotten? All of it. I know I wanted to meet this person, but it's like a video. I saw it all as a den of snakes and vipers and sinful.
Yeah.
God, how do you love me? But thank God they said he did.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, preacher.
When I did, like Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Right then, I can't explain it. But like Psalms 85:10 said, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness, peace started kissing each other. They've been a hugging and a kissing ever since.
Amen. Amen.
He's the founder of the church. He confessed Jesus, human divine nature. My church, Jesus said.
Yeah.
I build mine. I'm glad I'm part of it. We got these local assemblies. Yeah. But what a day we're going to come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels and the spirits of just man and made perfect. And then look out.
Yeah.
That's when we'll have no blemish, no spot, no wrinkle, or nothing else.
Yeah.
That's when we'll be glorious.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm part of the church. I want to be closer to God. I want to live clean, don't you?
Amen.
I want to walk circumspectly.
Yes,
I want to walk in the Spirit. But I'm going to tell you, every once in a while, any of us will fail.
Yep.
God don't sit us in a corner with a dunce's cap on us.
Yes.
They're back to the crowd. When we fail, if we confess, thank God he takes us right back into fellowship.
Yes.
What about Romans 10, verse 8? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That's the word of faith which we preach. Faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, buried on the third day, arose again, seen of Cephas, then the 12, then of above 500 at one time in 1 Corinthians 15. Said most of them remain. When Paul wrote that epistle, that some had died and went on to be at the Lord. Then he said, if thou, your responsibility, your faith, that if thou shalt confess your mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For there's no difference between Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all. And I'll tell you, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it, is rich upon all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except they be saved? I tell you, David's a good-looking man, but I tell you, he's got one thing beautiful about him. You don't see him, he's got them covered up shoes. Well, it does say, how beautiful are the feet of them preach a gospel of peace.
Yeah.
He might have corns on his toes, he might have some bunions on them, but they're still pretty. He's a taking the peace message. You can't beat something like that. I mean, we stepped out of nothing into everything. As old Ralph Sexton used to say, Senior, brother, we on the little end of something big. Then not only that, is Christ the founder of the church, but he's the foundation of the church. He's all of it. He's in it. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Rock's where he gets stability. Brother, what did Jesus say in Matthew 7? 24 and 25, the foolish man, the wise man. Foolish man built his house on the sand. Rain come, the winds blew, and it fell. The wise man dug down.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're on the rock of ages, cleft for you and I, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir,
preacher.
Amen.
He's the foundation of it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, verse he says, as a wise master builder. A master builder is the best you get.
Yep.
And brother, the Pauline is the one that God, Paul gave the church.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen, you can't deny that. He got it out in the desert of Arabia.
Yeah.
He didn't learn it. A man one taught it, but he got it direct from heaven.
Yes, sir.
The church, you don't know about church. If you take the Pauline writings out, you don't know anything about church except
that's
a little.
Right.
But anyway, you say, what did he say? As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Now, I've done some building. I used to lay some blocks for my brother. They wanted me to be a brick mason. I could lay blocks, but I couldn't lay brick. I'd lay them, lay it to the line here, and then have to go back to my trowel and beat them down. I didn't like it. But I tell you one thing, laying blocks anything, you got to have a foundation there.
Yes,
then you got to have cornerstones.
Yep. Amen.
You got to lay judgment to the line and righteousness to the plummet.
Yep. Amen.
Up and down's plumb.
Yeah.
Out there to others. When you join to Jesus, achieve cornerstone on the foundation that the gates of hell can't prevail again.
Right.
Thank God, I want you to know you can stretch a line on it and lay by it and walk by it.
Yeah.
And one day the whole building's going to be fitly framed, joined together, a holy temple unto the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He's the foundation of the church. He's the one that stands. You find in Ephesians 3:13-21, it talks about the whole family and earth is named, that we're called by it. Heaven and earth, rooted and grounded in love.
Yes.
You find John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
When I pastored Greensboro, North Carolina, these folks from Burnsville, a little fella came down there. He went to Sunday school, church, made a profession of sin. But he come to visit his daughter and son-in-law. His son-in-law's a preacher now. He answered the call to preach. He's my youth director then. But anyway, that little fella, he's a skinny. I mean, he is really skinny. And he come out and got saved on Sunday morning. Well, he stayed a week or two. He came up to me and said, where I start reading? I said, the Bible? He said, we'll start reading in the Gospel of John. And that there kind of covers it all. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and all things were made by him. Thou art not anything made that was made, and in him is life. The life is light of man. Light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehendeth it not. But he had been to Sunday school. And I tell you, I'd give $100 right now if I could. On Wednesday night, I was teaching through the book of James.
Yeah.
I remember it well. I did a prayer request. And others, a testimony. There's some testified. That little fella got up right over there. And I'm telling you, he quoted John 3:16. I never heard anything like it. Power of God fell on him. He said, I got to looking in that John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Just got two letters. He said, I tell you, I found out a soul.
Yeah.
He said, it's so real, I can't get over it. By the time he got through, everybody's standing up. Thank God he is out in the aisle. And the aisle, you'd have thought John 3:16, the only thing in it was so. Time he got through, so loved the world, so did so much for us, lifted us out, sent not his son in the world to condemn the world. He sent him so we could be delivered. I'm telling you right now, if I'd give $100 if I could preach like that baby that we had when he wasn't even 3 days,
four.
He brought it out.
Amen.
You say, why? It got on the foundation.
Yeah. Amen.
The once a foundation. And then there's the future of the church.
Yeah.
You say, he's going to present it to himself, a glorious church.
Yeah.
You and I, the church has got faults. We know it.
Yeah.
We know we all fail.
Yes, sir.
We know we all come short of the glory of God at times. But I tell you, the future's bright, isn't it?
Yeah.
As we're born the image of the earth, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly.
That's right.
We're going to be like him.
Yep.
I can't comprehend that exactly, but I like to think about it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know, in 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.
Oh, yes.
Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And as he is, we will be.
Yep.
And brother, he's the one that's altogether lovely.
Amen.
He's the one without spot or blemish.
Yes, sir.
He's the one that's no sin.
Yep.
The one that is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinner. You and I are defiled by sin. Let me tell you, the first birth, why you had to be born out here the first time of a union between your father and mother. You and I were conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity,
right,
even though they loved one another, Psalm 51 said. But I tell you, when we're born again, the first time we're born to corruptible seed.
Right.
Brother, all they could pass on was a sin nature. That's all Adam could do. But the next time we was born of incorruptible,
amen,
born by the word of God, Jesus Christ, the word that liveth and abideth forever. The first birth, we started dying soon as we was born. The second birth, we started living forever. The first birth, we got older as we had. Our eyesight got dim. I said, heavy weapons of service, 4.181 millimeter. I've been wearing hearing aids since 88. I don't hear good. But anyway, I'm glad I don't have to hear good to hear him.
Yeah,
he said, my sheep hear my voice.
Yeah.
I tell you, you don't have to have hearing aids or best hearing out here to hear him. When you go to hear him, he speaks in the sound of his voice.
Yeah.
It's a sweet, the bird such is singing. Boy, he goes to talking to you. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own.
Yeah,
and the joy we share when we tarry there. Things go to getting better, better, better. He's going to present it. You think about it. Notice what it said here in my text verse, that he might present it to himself, verse 27. A glorious church, not having spot. I got a birthmark. My leg, brown birthmark. I was born with it. I used to have dimples and now I got wrinkles. But anyway. Anyway, you know something? They asked when I went in the service, you got a birthmark. Anything happened to me in that service, that birthmark would show, it would identify me. Now I know that identify you with the DA. But anyway, I had that. And then some other things. You wore the dog tags. I found one of them in the drawer here a while back. I looked at when I went in service. Wore that around my neck. Had my name on it. Rayton Puckett, RA13292881. And you say, what? All right, that is it. But a glorious church, not having spot,
right,
wrinkle, or any such things, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Amen.
You think about that glorious church.
Yeah.
How he is, we is.
Yeah.
You know when John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, you see him several. He got in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
Wow.
I flew over Patmos. We didn't get to stop at it. But he got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he heard a voice as the sound of many waters. Turned seeing that voice. And he saw one. The hair of his head as white as snow.
Yeah.
Countenance like the sun shone in his strength. His eyes was like a flame of fire.
Yeah.
Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. He is clothed in the gold, girt about the paps of gold with girdle.
Yeah.
His feet was like furbished brass. That means where he walked through the judgment force.
Yeah.
But anyway, I tell you, John said, I fell at his feet as one dead. He laid his right hand upon me and said, fear not, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and hell. Thank God, I'll tell you one night, we are hell-proof we're saved tonight. You say, why, that's a promise. One of these days, like the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 8, I'm going to tell you the time is going to rain, it's going to be over and gone. The cold winds and the snow's gonna be. It's gonna be springtime.
Yeah.
The sound of the turtle doves gonna fit in the land. The tree's gonna bud. The flower's gonna bloom.
Yeah.
And about that time, we're gonna hear a voice, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.
Amen.
And about that time, we'll be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. And brother, we'll be fashioned exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. And won't that be wonderful?
Yeah.
I've met a few critics in my life. I've had some in church. There's some and something never seemed like it, nothing to ever satisfy them. One day it came to my mind and I said, I'll tell you, some of you folks that are always criticizing something, y'all ought to start a new church and name it the Charter Members of the Critic Club. It started. Some of them didn't like that too well, but anyway, we got too much to praise God for to criticize. We're going to criticize anything. Let's criticize our failures and look at ourselves, examine it. He's going to present us a glorious church in a glorified body, likened unto the Lord. And while the eternal ages roll, we're going to be changed from glory to glory. I want to ask you tonight, are you a member? Have you been bought of the blood washed church? If you're here tonight and you're lost without God on the road to hell, I want to tell you this. You need to be born again. Christ paid the only blood he had, he gave for the church. Paul called the elders together and he told them, take heed in Acts 20:28 unto yourself and the flock of God of whom the Holy Ghost made you overseer, to feed the flock of God which he purchased with his own blood.
Right.
And the only blood God had, he purchased you and I.
That's right.
Redeemed us. The life of the flesh is in the blood.
Yeah.
And I've given the blood upon the altar to make atonement.
Yes.
Christ not entered into the holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself with his own blood.
That's right.
And obtained eternal redemption for you and I. Calls us a church, placed every member in his body as it pleased him. Thank God if it pleased him, it ought to please us.
Yeah.
Well, nothing be about it. If you're here lost out God tonight, salvation plan's finished, salvation price is paid. You receive Jesus Christ, and as many as received it, he gives power to become the sons of God,
right,
even to them that believe upon his name. And he said in John 6:37, all the Father giveth me will come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. No matter how much you went deep in sin, he's able to save.
Amen.
To the uttermost in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want a man to God that's making liquor back in prohibition time. Him and his buddies making moonshine whiskey. I don't know what his accident was. One of the deacons I had was out there away where they couldn't. Man run up there and sort of shot this man. He took a shotgun. This deacon told me I took a denim jacket, one that I had, and put it on the man's head. They might have saved his life now, but it's out there, no mercy, anything. He gave him 21 years of second-degree murder. I'd worked in a funeral home, and his hand, I'd laid people up on a preparation table. It's more feeling. Sometimes their body's still warm than this man. His first name is Joe. He said, I can't be saved. This deacon told me that man, while he was dying, said, right now, blue bubble, soap bubbles. But that man breathed, bubbles of blood would come and float out. That man, let us have a cottage prayer meeting. I won his life to God first. She lived like 3 days, living 100. She cross-stitched. Hitchard, I've got up there and bagged her daughter for one of them, my house. And I look up there and think of Sister Elizabeth. Lizzie, they called her. Go back and memories of him. That snowy day, he had told me before, I can't be saved. I went up there in the snow, put on chains, cinder blocks. And I said, I got to go. I was burdened. I went there and he said, preacher, what you doing out? I said, Joe, God told me to come up here and talk to you. You said you couldn't be saved. He said, you know what I've done? I can't be saved. What he said, no murder has eternal life. But I said, Joe, the Apostle Paul was a Caesar. He caused some to be put to death. Stephen's clothes was laid at his feet. I said, it's snowing out here. And I said, these old junk cars that's wrecked with this snow, they look pretty good, snow on it, covers them up.
Yep.
And I took him to Isaiah 118. And I come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow.
Amen.
Though they be red like crimson, they'll be as wool.
Amen.
If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land, but if you're not, you'll perish.
Yep.
I took him over to 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. I said, it'll cleanse you. He said, that's the only hope of God.
Oh, yeah.
He knelt down. I never will forget it. Asked Jesus to come in his heart,
oh,
save him.
Amen.
Boy, his wife came in there at the apron.
Amen.
Flour, she said, bacon. She reached out and wiped her face. And where she had flour on her hand, it come down, the tears. They hugged one another. She had stayed all them years with that little girl and boy. Brought him up, lived a virtuous life, but she wasn't saved. And took him. His brother-in-law brought him by church, and on the third pew, he'd sit there. He wouldn't join the church because of what he'd done, so they'll say. But he'd sit there. When I talk about the Jesus forgiveness, that man and drink like cold water to a thirsty soul. It's good news.
Amen.
You say you believe God saved him? Praise God. I'll tell you, if you'd seen change, his hand that was lifeless, as soon as he got saved, he had a handshake.
Yeah.
After that, it's warm.
Yeah.
He had a feeling. He sat there. His life was different.
Amen.
He got to be in the church that's glorious.
Amen.
Father, let's bow our head right now and Father, I get a number.
Yes.
Lord, I know it. I've wandered all over the place, but thank God. I'm glad you're the founder of the church. And Lord, that you're the foundation that we're on, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. And then, Lord, the future of its glory's cause us. We've borne the image of the earth, and we'll bear the image. Lord, we don't know yet what it'll be, but we know when you'll appear, we'll be exactly like you and see you as you is. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here tonight not saved, save them. I pray if there's somebody here tonight drifted off, Lord, they forgot about that first love. They'll come back. And Lord, repent and do the first works. As everyone stands, every head bowed, every eye closed.
Yes.
You need to come and give thanks to God. You need to renew your covenant or be saved. Come on.
Yes.
He can save to the uttermost to them that come unto God by him. Sin he ever liveth to make intercession.